for Pacifica Radio, November 17th, 2019. I'm Scott Horton. This is Anti-War Radio. All right, you guys, welcome to the show. It is Anti-War Radio. I'm your host, Scott Horton. I'm the editorial director of antiwar.com, and I'm the author of the book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. I do about 6 or 8 or 10 of these a week, so if you want to check out the full interview archive, more than 5,000 of them now, they're all available for you for free at scotthorton.org. All right, y'all, introducing Jimmy Dore, stand-up comedian and political activist and host of The Jimmy Dore Show. This huge show on YouTube, just in the past year and a half or two, is a force in leftist politics now and in this election. And I'm very happy to meet you and very happy to have you on the show. Welcome, Jimmy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, you know, it's the fact that my show has any prominence and any kind of political influence, it just goes to show you the desert that the corporate media is.
Well, that's true, but you're being modest. The reality is your show is great because you have principle and you know what you're talking about. And, of course, you're funny and engaging and all the great things about your show. So you've certainly earned it. What you say negatively about the rest of the media, of course, is certainly true. As well. But listen, we're big fans of your show at antiwar.com. We try to run you on the blog from time to time. And you've been great, of course, on the Russiagate hoax. And
well, can I just ask you a question first? Because I'll forget.
Sure.
If I, why do you think people who consider themselves to be on the left pushing something such as Russiagate, how does that negatively affect the anti-war movement?
Oh, well, of course, it's terrible, right? It's as effective as a psyop on the leftist mind, I guess, or the liberal mind in America, as the Obama presidency was. Hey, if the guy you love is the one waging the wars, then probably just button your lip for the next 8 years. And that worked real well. But then to have the entire set of accusations against the Republican president and complete hate figure Donald Trump be associated with his lack of patriotism and lack of loyalty to the foreign policy agenda of his predecessors, so to speak, and his underlings in the executive branch is a whole other level. And so I'm sure you saw the polls. In fact, I think I saw you cover the polls that said that liberals believe in the CIA far more than conservatives do now. And of course, conservative skepticism only extends to the CIA's persecution of their political hero in this circumstance on that side. But as far as how bad it's been for liberalism, it's terrible. But that's why I like you and other principled leftists so much who are not partisans, but instead are principled and put the worst things first and keep them there and refuse to be cowed by things that I guess should seem like an easy way to get a political enemy, but in fact aren't true and are damaging to especially our relationship with Russia, which is the most important thing in the whole world. So is that a long enough answer?
So no, that was the only thing I would maybe add to that is that when it first started happening, I tried to tell people on the left who were doing it what this is going to eventually do is going to come back to bite us in the ass when we oppose a war. And that's how it's always been. Well, look exactly what happened. There's one candidate running who's in the military currently serving in the illegal wars that these people engineered, who tells the truth about them and speaks a moment of peace on national television. And she's immediately slimed by a former first lady, secretary of state, and nominee of the party as a Russian asset. Yeah. So now, because you pushed this along on the left, now anybody who challenges, and then she then went along and said it was Jill Stein too. So anybody who not only challenges war, but even challenges the two-party corporate duopoly, that has had the stranglehold on this country, even if now that you're also a Russian. So you can't even be an environmentalist. You can't even think outside the two party. Anybody who strays, it's going to be used now as a billy club to keep you in line. And that's exactly how it's being used. And right. Who is it used against? The left, of course. And what people don't realize, what Russiagate really is attacking Trump from the right. And so when you say, oh, he didn't bomb Syria enough, or he used Nerf bombs, as I've heard people say, what you're actually doing is saying he should bomb more, which as a lefty, you're supposed to be intrinsically against that stuff and always suspicious of that. And of course, why? Because who gets killed? People. That's why people get killed. So and especially at KPFK, which the whole point of KPFK Pacifica is anti-war. It was founded as anti-war. And to hear people on the left attacking Trump from the right and wanting him to be more bellicose and saber-rattling, it shows you how deleterious and destructive Russiagate can be to the left, and which is why they should stop it. They should have stopped it, and they should continue to stop it if they haven't.
Yeah, well, I'm sure with you on that. And it's funny because my strategy is always attack the right from the right, but in a different way, right? And characterizing the warmongering as the opposite of conservative. It's wasteful and destructive and horrible in so many ways. You're right that the liberals are attacking him from the right in all the worst ways. But that also brings up a great tactic that I think that leftists like you can use against liberals to try to keep them honest, is you can invoke somebody like Rand Paul and insist that they have to stay to the left of Rand Paul, don't they? If Rand Paul wants to get out of Syria and Afghanistan, don't tell me you're to the right of him. I mean, you can't really give credit to anything about Trump because all he does is talk a good game. He never actually withdraws troops from anywhere. But we know Rand Paul wants to, and it seems like that would be a good cudgel to use against the liberals, is no matter how far left Rand moves on foreign policy, we have to stay to the left of him. And wouldn't that be great if we could actually end the wars, huh? And try to get them to dispute that. Let them try.
Well, that is a good tactic that they could, believe me, they will ignore it. But let me just say this. Yeah. Rand Paul, for his foreign policy stance, has already been smeared as directly working for Vladimir Putin. Mm-hmm. By who? John McCain.
Yep.
Where? On the floor of the Senate.
That's right.
Can I ask you this about, you know, Andrew Yang? Why isn't he running in the Republican Party?
I actually don't know anything about him at all, honestly. Tell me.
Oh, because he seems to me like one of these libertarian guys, right? He's not for Medicare for all. He's not for minimum wage. So he's more really a kind of he's appealing because of his libertarianism. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you just run against Trump and take him out?
Does he have a foreign policy that's even worth discussing?
So that's the thing. I don't think he does, right?
So why is he even in the race at all? Because that's the most important thing. So let me ask you about Tulsi Gabbard here. This is actually sort of my ulterior motive for getting you on the show, Jimmy, is that I kind of want to have her on the show and win an argument with her. But then I think I won't if it's on a show. I really want to convince her. I'm not trying to rack up a win here. But
okay, what's the deal?
I think she's great, but she ain't great enough. So very simply, look at the war in Syria, where Obama and John Brennan had us on Al-Qaeda's side. Right. So she says, let's stop backing terrorists, because she was, as you said, she was in Iraq War II. So she can tell who's on whose side here. And she can tell that al-Nusra ain't no moderate rebels, and you can't get her to get on that bandwagon. Right. So that's great. That is just great. But that's great in the face of an absolutely insane policy to back our actual enemies. But then when it comes to the war against al-Qaeda, as she has said repeatedly, she's a hawk. And she says that essentially wherever there's a Sunni with a rifle anywhere, then we have to fight the war against terrorists forever, which she also is against regime change wars, this bait and switch and overthrowing whole countries in the name of fighting terrorism. That's also great. But you know, the drone wars and special operations wars against alleged Al-Qaeda targets. She talks like she wants to fight a war like that for 8 years. And as she says, because as long as they believe in Wahhabism, they are incorrigible terrorist enemies of ours. And that's just all wrong. And the fact is that the reason that the terrorists are attacking us was because Hillary Clinton's husband was bombing Iraq from bases in Saudi Arabia all through the 1990s. And that's what turned Ronald Reagan's and Saudi Arabia's mercenaries against the United States. It was radical politics, not radical Islam. And it was America's government's actions that did it. And so, in other words, as Ron Paul said, we just marched in. We can just come home. She doesn't have to be a hawk against terrorists, but a dove on backing them. She could be a dove on both. And I think that's part of what's holding her back, is a lot of good peacenik people would like to support her, but they hear some of these expansive war on terrorism arguments that she makes and are really hesitant, you know? But my thing is that if I could get you on the same page with me, as she'll listen to you, and that you can really tell her, hey, it was Hillary Clinton's husband that drove bin Laden to knock down the towers. That's the fact. And she could use that, too, obviously.
There's certainly what, you know, can't dispute what you're saying. And certainly that's, the, I mean, so.
And the most important part of that is she listens to you. And so, you know, there's no point. I don't want to take her on. I want you to, like, teach her and fix her.
So,
make her better.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's, I could learn more from her than she'll ever learn from me, for one. But two, there is Wahhabism is, so let's put it this way. Wahhabism is a problem, but the problem is that, you know, it's been encouraged by the CIA.
It's still too broad. There are lots of Wahhabis who aren't militant humans in any way, right? It's a belief that. We're talking about a very small group of people with radical politics. I'm not saying they're not religious nuts. They are. But that's not the war that religious nuttery makes them attack innocent people. And the further away, the better, right? It's America had combat forces in Saudi Arabia that they were using to bomb and blockade Iraq for a decade leading up to the September 11th attack. That's the deal.
Right, right. So... Well, wasn't also, so tell me this, I'm sure you know more than I do too. So, but from what I understand was that Osama bin Laden was particularly upset that Saudi Arabia called in the infidels, which is the United States, to come straighten out stuff in the Middle East. And he was like, why don't we straighten out stuff in the Middle East?
Right. Starting with Iraq War One, and then, but especially it was the permanent stationing of the troops there. But yes,
correct.
Absolutely. That's right.
And so that's when bin Laden had the break, right, from Saudi Arabia. But that's also why 15 of the 18 or whatever is that, I think that's the number of the hijackers was from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a real important point too, right? Why again did these people attack us? Because our government was too close to their government. They weren't from Iran, Iraq, and Syria. They were from Saudi Arabia and Egypt. And they hated us because we were preventing them from overthrowing their government. But that means that in the regional war, when we fight on Saudi's side, we fight on Al-Qaeda's side, just like we see in Yemen today and Syria the day before yesterday.
So, yeah, I think that's what, well, you know, honestly, I don't want to speak for Tulsi's foreign policy, but I could just talk, I can just speak for myself. So I'm not speaking for her.
Sure.
But, you know, she is consistent in a sense. Oh, that she's calling out Saudi Arabia also in our, she's had the same question you have right now, which underlies all this. Hey, why are we friends with Saudi Arabia? And which actually is in fact an exporter of extreme terrorism. A lot of people say that's the Wahhabi sect, right? So that's what Dylan Radigan would say. That's what Tulsi Gabbard would say. And it's been proven, WikiLeaks has revealed that they in fact are not, they are funded by Saudi Arabia government. They used to always say, well, that's just a one-off prince that has his own oil money that he's funding them, the terrorists. But no, WikiLeaks reveal, in fact, it was the Saudi Arabian government that is funding the terrorists, right? And so why do they do that? Well, they're useful, right? So, because how? Well, if you want to overthrow Assad, all you got to do is you got to get some terrorists to go in there and overthrow them and say it's for all these other reasons, and then the CIA will help you. Mm-hmm. So there is that, right? And so, and they, and as far as 9/11 goes, she's right now calling. She's the only person with enough courage to stand with the victims of 9/11, the victims' families, and call for the release of all the documents around surround 9/11, including the ones about Saudi Arabia. So, you know, she's, in my sense, that she's consistent, right? She's not schizophrenic as the United States foreign policy is when we right. say we're friends with Saudi Arabia, but we're against ISIS. It's like, you know, and we're against Al Qaeda, and we're, but we're friends with Saudi Arabia. You can't, that's, you know, that's like saying, oh, I'm for the Navy, but I'm against the Marines. You know, yeah. It's like, so
I totally agree with that. I mean, as I'm saying, she's essentially on the three big chunks, she's good on 2/3, right? She doesn't want to fight wars for Al Qaeda, and she doesn't want to right. overthrow governments that even could benefit Al Qaeda. But she does want to fight Al Qaeda forever. Well, and that is still a hole big enough for Bush to drive another couple regime changes through, you know?
Yeah. So she also introduced a bill called Stop Funding Terrorists Now bill.
Right.
Which, of course, didn't pass. And no one, of course, it got no press. And no one, because they would have to ask the question, well, why do you have to bring up a bill like that? Well, because we're funding terrorists, which would blow people's mind, which is what I tell people. Of course, they have to silence someone like Tulsi Gabbard and smear her as a Russian asset,
right.
because if she gets any actual press coverage, people will find out what their government is actually doing in places like Syria, and they would be just as upset as she is.
Right.
And they can't,
isn't that great? She's the consensus in D.C. is we got to back Al Qaeda. She's against it. They call her the traitor. Yeah,
and that's exactly 100% correct.
Yep.
You know, she sits on the Foreign Relations Committee. She sits on the Armed Services Committee. She's currently an active soldier serving in the military as a medic. And they still slime them. So all that, when Trump was going after that Gold Star family during the election and people were all clutching their pearls, oh, my God, he's insulting a Gold Star family. But here they are, a live veteran who actually is a woman of color serving as the first Hindu in Congress. And they can't smear her enough as a commie, as a red band. It's unbelievable. So there, it just goes to show you that the Democrats keep trying. That's why this impeachment will fail, because what it is a morality play. We're better people than Trump, and they're not.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, so now here's the thing, too, is I was saying I should have recorded it, but I got bets going with my boss at antiwar.com about all this stuff, that even though she's, you know, being attacked now, as long as she hangs in there, a lot of the rest of these Cory Bookers are all going to flake out. And at the end of the day, you know, she's obviously by no means going to be coronated by the Democratic Party establishment. But if she plays it right, it could come down to her versus Warren at the end, or her versus Biden, or her versus the last Hillary, or whoever is the last establishment candidate in the race. As long as she hangs in there and actually then in that context has a real chance to argue about this stuff, I think she could do really great. She has so many reasons to be a very strong candidate to the American people, if not to the Democratic Party establishment and the TV media,
you know,
and all of that.
You know, and Tulsi is a vegan, which, you know, that's right there. That's a much better person than I am.
That
right?
might be the margin of victory right there. The vegans. Get that out there.
Yeah. So she also, and I know this isn't the focus of your work, but I just think that, you know, as far as her being a bona fide lefty, she's Medicare for all. She's got a much clearer foreign policy stance. She doesn't take any corporate money. I mean, that's a A-plus candidate.
Hey guys, Scott here for Liberty Under Attack Publications. Looking for a liberty-focused publisher? Liberty Under Attack publishes books and strategy guides for individuals looking to increase their personal freedom. They assist authors through the entire publishing process, proofreading, editing, cover designs, paperback and Kindle formatting, and full audiobook narration and post-production. Tell them Scott sent you and get 20% off a full-service deal. To get some one-of-a-kind books or for more information, visit libertyunderattack.com. Hey guys, check out Listen and Think audiobooks. They're at listenandthink.com and, of course, on audible.com. And they feature my book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, as well as brand new out Inside Syria by our friend Reese Ehrlich, and a lot of other great books, mostly by libertarians there. Reese might be one exception, but essentially they're all libertarian audiobooks. And here's how you can get a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think audiobooks. Just donate $100 to The Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate.
Hey, let me ask a little bit about Bernie Sanders here, because I think even he understood after 2016 that if only he had gone after Hillary on foreign policy, he could have had the nomination, and then I think it's pretty obvious would have had a lot easier time with Trump in the fall. He'd be the president right now. But so what is he doing to change anything?
Yeah, I mean, he does speak clearly on Yemen.
He's been great in the Senate on Yemen, but I got to admit to you, I don't know much about his campaign so far. So is he really running on that stuff?
Well, no, I mean, you know, he's that's always been his weakness, right? That's been his weakness, right? So he's better than everyone else, but that's just because everyone else is horrible, right? So he's not better. To me, that's why I'm like you. I'm an anti-war guy, so I'm more attracted to Tulsi in that way. And I think I think her voice, you know, in the primary, I'm supporting her because I think her voice needs to be heard because she does speak so clearly on foreign policy. And right. So whether or not, you know, she will get the nomination, I think it's important for her to pull Bernie to the left on that.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, if that, among other reasons, is why I think it's important for Tulsi to be in the race, be on the debate stage, get neutral press coverage, which never happens, except for places like here. And that's Bernie's, you know, Bernie, what his problem is in foreign policy is that for whatever reason, Bernie will repeat the CIA precepts for invasion and then say we shouldn't invade. For instance, he'll say, Maduro in Venezuela is a brutal dictator and blah, and the people are suffering and he's got torture and all that stuff, but we should leave it up to the people. Well, if you... So all that stuff is garbage. That's all CIA talking points, because they need to set up a pretext of, hey, it would be immoral of us not to help those people. And so if you agree with the pretext that this guy's a dictator, their people are starving while he's eating steak, he's oppressing them and jailing them and torturing them, and then you don't do something, well, now you're immoral. So it makes the case much harder to oppose an interventionist war if you repeat the CIA talking points, and that's what Bernie does. So Bernie will accept the framing. Oh, Assad is a dictator who gasses his own people. And then, so if you accept that, now if you don't want to go help those people for being gassed, you're the bad guy. And so you'll lose the argument right away. And so that's what he does. Tulsi doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've noticed. She doesn't do that. She says, hey, we need to stay the hell out of Venezuela. She doesn't go, hey, this guy's a brutal dictator. Hey, we need to stay out of there. Our history of intervening in South America is horrible. And so there you go, done. So you don't have to get into that debate about if he's a good guy, is he a bad guy? That doesn't matter. The point is, every time we intervene, it makes everything worse.
Yeah.
And well, so she doesn't want to be the policeman of the world, which we shouldn't. The only reason we claim we're the policeman of the world is because where we want to go police people has natural resources that we want to steal and give to an American corporation.
Yep. Well, we were just talking about Bolivia earlier today, too, and all the lithium supplies they have there, and got to keep them out of the hands of the Chinese and so forth. That's same as always. But hey, let me ask you about Elizabeth Warren. I know that you guys just go after Elizabeth Warren all day and night on your show, but I'm trying to remember if I've seen your coverage of her foreign policy specifically. Is I know that she has said in the past, hey, I want out of Afghanistan and Syria. You know, I think Maddow tried to make her attack Trump for his proposed withdrawal from Syria a year ago, and she said, nah, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go ahead and go with him on this one. So, I don't know. Is there anything interesting there?
Yeah, she wants to green the military. That's her big push. She wants to make it environmentally friendly. So when we drop bombs on brown people to steal their natural resources, we do it in a carbon neutral way, I guess. I don't know.
That's good. Less depleted uranium, a little more tungsten.
Yeah. So, You know, she voted for those bloated military budgets. She voted to give, you know, that's the whole thing. Hey, is Trump a Russian stooge? Well, yeah, he is. Well, let's give him $80 billion to go do his Russian stoogery. Those two things are contradictory. And so it's one or the other. Well, we all know it's the other. And that's, I just wanted to bring up Chile. And that's another negative effect of Russiagate. The State Department is putting out press releases saying that after 30 years of neoliberalism in Chile, the people have revolted and they're in the streets by the millions. And of course, you know, they have the right to decide what kind of government they want. They don't like the one that's in power and the system that they've had for the last 30 years. I'm sure everyone would agree that they get to decide what kind of system they have. And the State Department has said that it's being caused by Russia influence. So once you validate that, the State Department is going to use that everywhere and anywhere for neoliberalism, for CIA coups and toppling governments. And they'll just go. So now they've got that implanted in everyone's lizard brain. Russia, Russia, Russia. And, well, you know, that was made possible by the useful idiots on the left who pushed Russiagate.
Yeah. And they have done that in Germany and in France and over Brexit. And they just came out with a new thing last week saying that the conservatives only won in England because the Russians intervened and bankrolled them. And then guess who was the source? Christopher Steele says so.
Yeah, Brexit couldn't be actually a reflection of the ruling class turning its back on its workers. It couldn't actually be 40 years of banker run economies coming back to everybody in the except for the upper 10%. It couldn't be the fact that the people in the United States, which has been proven we live in an oligarchy and not a democracy, it couldn't be that. No, it's probably, I'm going to say, racism and Russia.
Yep, gotta be. Anything but responsibility on the part of those complaining that they lost their power.
That's a great way. Yeah. Well yeah. Said. That's a great way to say it.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, so I don't know if any of the others are worthy of mention at all. Klobuchar and whoever else is in the race. Do any of them have anything particularly bad on foreign policy that we should be aware of, other than just the usual?
Amy Klobuchar is fake lefty comedian Bill Maher's favorite. That's the one he endorsed, Amy Klobuchar.
No surprise there. Jeez.
Isn't that amazing what passes for a lefty and a comedian and a corporate new comedy show?
Yep. And it's been that way for 25 years with him, too, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. You know, people ask me, what's your show like? I say, well, my show is like what The Daily Show would be if it wasn't hosted by a millionaire and produced by a giant corporation.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it is.
And it's but nothing no, like the Bill Maher show, no matter what variable you switch out. So that's good.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't think there's anybody else worth talking with. Joe Biden, of course, is a continuation of the Bush doctrine. You know, if you vote for Joe Biden, you're voting for guy who voted for the, you know, Iraq, did Libya, wanted to do, you know, Syria, the whole deal. He's horrible.
Yep. 2014 coup in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right. So, and people, we got in bed with Nazis over Russiagate, right? Because we wanted to, you know, it was pre-Russiagate, but it was because we were afraid of Russia and we wanted Ukraine to sign an economic deal that was more favorable to the European Union and the West than it was to Russia. And so we would literally get in bed with Nazis to make that happen.
Well, I'm sorry, so, I have to correct you there. We learned in the impeachment hearings this week that those Ukrainian militias, the Azov battalion and so forth, are equivalent to America's Minutemen who fought our revolution against Great Britain. And these are the guys and they made it explicit, didn't they, that this is why we're getting rid of our president, is because this is our foreign policy and he's trying to change it and we won't stand for it.
Right. So, you know, this, and also one of the saddest things about Russiagate is that the left has somehow exalted the intelligence community, which has always been the enemy of the left and will continue to be. And so, you know, the FBI infiltrates peace organizations and dismantles them and smears them and slimes them and keeps them out of power. That's what the FBI does. They're not your friend because you happen to both hate Donald Trump at the moment.
Yeah. Very well said. And listen, I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of your show, and I'm so glad that you do it, and I really appreciate your time on my show this morning, Jimmy.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for letting me talk to your audience.
All right, you guys, that is Jimmy Dore, and he is the host of The Jimmy Dore Show. You can find out all about what he's doing at jimmydorecomedy.com. All right, you guys, and that has been Anti-War Radio for this morning. I'm your host, Scott Horton. I'm the editorial director of antiwar.com, and I'm the author of the book Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. I'm here for Anti-War Radio every Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. See you next week.